Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm on one, Ms. Bumble.
It's John and Lance.
When Will Shipley ran in a 4.3, that was our Jesse Owens.
Ain't this some
Broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place. Here's John Granato and Lance Zerline.
Two for two with this.
That's the second day in a row. It was Rodeo Friday yesterday. Yeah. And it's Nick's Place today. Huh. That's different. That is
different. Well, you are on the road.
I am on the road. I'm doing a Veritex road show is what I'm doing. But everybody's got me in a closet, okay?
Are you in a room?
I'm in a room, yes. I don't want to face the windows because it'll be so bright behind me. So I've got to face this way in the room. I'm in the another bedroom. Wendy is sleeping in the other bedroom, and I'm in one bedroom. We're still in an apartment. We're moving over to a house today, so we have got it going on. For those of you that are watching on Twitch or YouTube, or because that is the best way to watch YouTube, Twitch. You can watch on Twitter, actually, or X. You can watch on there as well. We've got I think more than we've had ever before was on Twitter. So if you're just hanging out and you want to watch the show while you listen along, that's fine. You can do it in multiple ways. You can see Dell in the control room right now fixing the cameras. So how many walk-offs? It's ridiculous now. It's getting to a point of ridiculous now. And it's also getting to a point of, with runners in scoring position, the incompetence at the plate. And I say incompetence, okay, it's failure, okay, it's a hard sport, there's no question about that. It's anything but easy, but man, are they making it look so much harder lately. 1-for-9 yesterday with runners in scoring position. The one hit was Jeremy Pena. He also got hit by a pitch, so he was responsible for two of the runs. But man, oh man, I've never seen worse at-bats than Mauricio. Mauricio Dubon was one of the heroes of the first half. Hero in that, you know, he kept things alive when everybody else was really crappy. He was awesome with runners in scoring position early in the season, and he's awful, awful now. He had four check swing strikes, a called strike, and then he swung at a ball in the dirt in game situations with runners on base. He was awful, awful yesterday. And this is what you've got. This is in a hitting position at first base. You've got Singleton and Dubon in what is probably the worst. I mean, it's been the worst all season long, thanks to Jose Abreu. But it is possibly the worst right now. Singleton has come up with a couple of hits lately. Nobody at the bottom of the order is coming up with any hits. In the last three games, the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th hitters, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th hitters are 2-for-39 with 24 strikeouts. Let that sink in. The last three games in which you scored 1, 0, and 2 and 3 runs, you've got 4 runs in the last three games, and you're 2-for-39. With 24 strikeouts. That's awful. That is awful. And Jake Meyers is back to being Jake Meyers. He was awful with runners in scoring position. Dubon was terrible. Pedro Leon with 3 strikeouts. I mean, this is it's a desperation. It's at a desperation. And this is a guy that you destroy. You destroy Heaney. You came in with a couple of guys with 1,000 OPS, 800 OPS. And you couldn't hit this guy when you have a history of just beating his brains in. This is getting so hard. It's back to hard to watch. It really is back to hard to watch, this team. How bad it has been over the last 11 games, only the White Sox have been worse offensively than the Astros. Only the White Sox have been worse. And they're historically bad. And the Astros are right there. The Rangers are no great shakes either. I was about to tell New York, thank you for Caleb Ferguson.
After the first two batters?
After the first two strikeouts. And then not so much.
So
I didn't tell him thank you anymore.
He was the exact opposite of Kikuchi, who was awful the first two batters and found his way to have a great performance. If Caleb Ferguson was like, I want to do the reverse. I want to be lights out and then shake off my catcher a couple times and give him a home run to end the game.
That's what I get, though, for being petty. Because New York fans were all
thrilled.
So happy that he was gone. They were so happy that he was gone. And now I'm not that happy that he's here.
No. When they were thrilled that they got a living body for him, you thought, oh, look how stupid you are. Look at Caleb last night. And then New York Yankees fans were like, that's the guy I remember. No. That's the guy we were thrilled to get rid of. And, yeah, the pitching, and you outlined the hitting as we were getting going. And the pitching, particularly Presley and Ferguson at the end, tricked off.
I know he had 15 straight appearances where he didn't give up a run, but every single one, he can't get a clean sheet. It's goodness gracious. Two outs and he gives up the homer. Two outs, Ferguson gives up the homer. I mean, come on, just get out of the. I know it's Seager. Seager's really, really good.
Should they have walked Seager?
I don't want to put people on for Presley. Do you want to put people on? Is that what you want?
No.
Is that what you're looking for? I guess a walk is better than a home run.
Sure.
But
you get to someone who isn't hitting as well. Seager had been hot, and we know how they treat Yordan. They're not going to give Yordan a chance, no matter if there's a guy on or not. They're not going to give Yordan a chance to beat them if they can help it. You gave their best guy a chance.
So I was going to tweet this. Is it so wrong? I mean, Presley should have pitched the seventh because it was the bottom of the order. And Abreu should have pitched the eighth. I mean, you put your best guys in a position just because the best guys are coming up in the eighth inning. Presley's not that good, is not good right now. He's not. He can't get through a clean inning. Every time he's out there, it's like second and third, two outs, and he's got to come up with some kind of pitch to get out of the inning. Every time.
You tell me about baseball hierarchy. We know, or at least the assumption was, Presley was not thrilled with Hader being brought in and losing his closure spot. And his performance this year compared to Abreu would suggest, let's give you a lesser leverage situation if we're going to play this. Make Abreu the eighth guy, particularly when the lineup that you're going to have to face, a part of the lineup you're going to have to face, is a bigger threat. At this point, would moving Presley out of the eighth break him? What's the psychology of a guy who comes in for an inning? I don't know, because we thought him not pitching the ninth was the problem, and then you just outlined that he had been pretty good over the last 15 appearances. Is that just what baseball is? We're not moving this guy into the seventh because that's just not what we do? Mm-hmm. He's the eighth inning guy now?
That's it. That's it, because it's a matter of respect, okay? You got to put some respect. You know who I respect? Brian Abreu. I respect him facing a better part of the lineup, okay? That is what I respect more. Twitch, can you get off of it? There's two cameras on Dell.
For now, we'll fix it, but because we had to bring that camera up just so we could actually
my seat
hear
for?
Audio. So
why are you sitting over on that?
Because
side?
I was told to yesterday because we had issues yesterday. So I was told to.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll figure it out.
Why? You're trying During to take the over the show. You're
no,
trying to take over the show.
I prefer Lance to be
sitting
here.
In the lead chair.
Is this what this is, the lead chair?
That's the lead chair, right. That's where Jeremy sits. That's where I sit.
Does Joe sits here. Is he the lead of the Galan George show?
Oh, okay. What about you? Where do you sit?
I sit normally where Lance sits when I host my show.
Oh, you do? Well, nobody's the leader of that show.
So no one leads that show. Despite my name being on the show, no one leads that show?
Despite that, no one leads that show.
Hey, you're not insulting at all.
Sam's not here. That's Austin, everybody.
Yeah.
Twitch, get off it.
She was only going to be here for the day.
That's it. So you can stop. Two Dales, too many. Two shots of you. That's too many.
Yeah, I couldn't care less. We're just trying to make it through the segment. We'll figure it out.
Well, can you see the comments on Twitch?
No, I don't get involved in Twitch, mostly because they're like a combination of Reddit and 4chan and Twitter all wrapped into one. If you don't know what those things are, they're the worst people on the internet.
Right,
and Twitch is just a combination of all of them.
They kind of are.
Yeah.
Twitch leads Dale's show, it says. Okay.
Twitch doesn't, because I've never been on Twitch during my show.
Can we trade in Austin and Dell for a Sam?
No, trade deadline is passed. Sorry.
Yep. A Sam and an Abigail. You know, Twitch would love that.
I want to. Since you're entertaining them, I'm going to tell Twitch something. Those two young ladies would have nothing to do with any of you.
Nothing.
Zero. They've got brighter lives ahead of them, bigger goals ahead of them than dealing with guys on the internet who are spending their time talking about them in the comments. Mm. When has that ever worked, you losers?
Name
a guy who's done that. You guys are the same guys who comment on Texans cheerleaders in their comments on their Instagrams and their Twitter. Has that ever worked for any of those guys? You're those guys.
Has
it ever worked, John?
I'm not going to get on Twitch the way that you do.
Well, you play to them. That's why. They're your people.
No, they're here for a reason.
Well, that reason isn't here.
Apparently, it's not you.
That reason isn't here today. Sorry.
That reason is not right there in those two screens. That's for sure. For those of you who don't know, Dell's on two screens and the Twitch
just
screen.
Because.
Just because. Yeah, or whatever stream it is now. It's not the Twitch stream. Shoot, we get a lot of Twitter. Is just ridiculous how many people see.
Yeah, people on Twitter can check us out. Their YouTube as well, and Twitch as well, unfortunately.
Anyway, so Astros losing again, and this is just a – I know. Well, this is what makes it the greatest season ever, everybody.
Because they're going to overcome.
low lows – like we have over the last couple of series.
What game was it you said was the best win of the season? The what game was it? Was it last week? Just last week you said it was their best win of the year?
Well, they had their best win of the year against the – was it the Pirates? No.
They came back. They were down big. Right. They came back and won, and it was a walk-off. Was it Bregman who hit the walk-off?
It was Dubon. Oh, no, Bregman's walk-off against the Dodgers.
Yeah, best win of the year. Is this the worst win? I saw a lot of that. This was the worst loss of the year.
It's up there. It's got to be up there with all the opportunities that they had. I mean, 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. My God. And Jake Meyers was terrible. And Dubon was terrible. It was just that the bottom of the order is an abomination. Pedro Leon. 3 strikeouts. He took a walk in one of his at-bats that was actually decent. You're getting good pitching. You're getting really good pitching. I mean, you had Eric Geddy was great. Blanco was good. Kikuchi was great. He didn't get the win. But Blanco and Eric Geddy picked up those losses. Ferguson gets the loss here. But Hunter Brown... I mean, you're getting just a fantastic pitching and crap hitting. It's just so amazingly annoying what they're doing. I mean, Hunter Brown, 6 innings pitched, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 4 strikeouts, 2 walks, and you can't do anything for him. 12 strikeouts for Eric Geddy, and you can't do any. 11 strikeouts for Kikuchi. And he doesn't get the win. I mean, holy crap. It's just awful. Come on, Astros. But we didn't need to get a bat during the trade for the trade deadline. We didn't need that. Okay. All right. Yeah, you're fine. Don't worry about it. You're just fine. That suck. All right. Breaking it. 713-780-3776. So much to talk about this morning here on the show, despite other than Twitch, there is stuff to talk about. right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Dell with you here along with Austin on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776 is the number. Our Astros lose again yesterday, and that was unfortunate. With Caleb Ferguson giving up the 10th inning home run with two outs, got a one-run lead. And I knew they needed more. I knew that they needed more. I mean, to get hit by pitch and score the run, and you've got bases loaded and one out and a strike. They just are so pitiful, pitiful right now with runners in scoring position. And the bottom of the order is just incredibly poor. Just incredibly poor. Just so bad. So this is something that we're going to get through. This the greatest season in Astros history. It's because you've got peaks and valleys, people. This is the greatest season. With all of the injuries and all of the peaks and valleys, this is why it's going to be the greatest season in Astros history. All right? When you win the title, when they win the title and they're celebrating that on the fire trucks and we're all up there and for celebrating, then guess what? Then we did our job. We did our job here, okay? I got another text from Eric Layden last night. Taps, okay? Right after the homer. He's such a bad person. Are you supposed to? Dell, do I ever call or do I ever text you right after Miami loses on when they don't take a knee and instead the other team scores a touchdown?
Well, you have waited after the game to do it.
I did. I did wait till after
the game. Which isn't great.
Well, after the game. No, sometimes I take a day or two. Okay? Right away, I'm not going
to. But no one ever wants to hear from anyone who does that, no matter how long you wait. Just don't do it.
Sometimes it's fun to do, though.
Just don't do it.
No, sometimes it's fun. I mean, you got to help your friend wallow in his misery, right? Hey, people are a little high on the Hurricanes this year.
Yeah, was the AP poll or the coaches poll came out?
Was it the AP? I think it was the AP.
They're top 20. Sean and I talked about it yesterday. That's a reputation-based thing about talent. Oh, we think you recruit well, you have talent. He's felt that for a while with Texas. Now Texas has elevated themselves under Sark. But yeah, I mean, that's about Cam Ward and Damian Martinez and, you know, the Houston wide receiver, Sam Brown. And they've gotten transfers from Tennessee and Michigan State on the defensive front. They went in the transfer portal because this is a Mario year where he has to win. He's under contract for, feels like 9 more years or so. All his buddies are the boosters. But they went in because they can't have another year where they're winning in the 7-8 win range. So they got a 7-8 games range. So they got to win, and they went in. And the ranking is a representative of their roster. Now, take into account Mario Cristobal's coaching, and maybe you feel less confident.
It was the coaches poll, which is now called the USLBM coaches poll. I don't know what that means, but Georgia's number one. No surprise there. You've got the SEC well-represented, Georgia number one, Texas, Alabama. Texas is 4, Alabama 5, Ole Miss 6, Missouri is 11, LSU 12, Tennessee 15, Oklahoma 16, Texas A&M is 20. So you've got a lot of representation, for the SEC. And, you know, listen, the SEC, What is the deal for the Big Ten and CBS an eight-year $9 billion deal, while the SEC's deal with ESPN is 10 years $3 billion? I mean, boy, did the Big Ten ever get over on the SEC on that deal. 10 years, $3 billion versus 8 years, $9 billion for the Big Ten.
Yeah, we think of ESPN as the place we go to for college football, but for years, the SEC game at, in our case, 2:30 on CBS was always a big deal. I guess that that network money, the broadcast network money, means more, despite what the SEC has to say. That's crazy for the Big Ten. You would assume just that the SEC brand would mean more as far as a rights fee than the Big Ten, but the Big Ten wins. And that's going to be an arms race for the foreseeable future. Despite Florida State and Clemson making noise, we've heard those two conferences say they're okay right now. They don't want to split up the pie, which is a very big one. And those are the two conferences running college football right now.
Yep. We had a lot of Olympic news yesterday. Some gymnastic news. I don't know. Is there anything that? Oh, one of the things that happened yesterday in the Olympic Village. Did you see who got kicked out of the village? She is Olympic swimmer Luana Alonso from Brazil. I think she's Brazilian. Kicked out of the village. She finished sixth in one event, and then she didn't qualify or something for the finals of another event, but she was having a good time, apparently. Look her up, Luana Alonso, and she's from Paraguay. She's apparently, her behavior was so inappropriate.
Yeah, what is inappropriate behavior in the Olympic Village?
At the Olympic Village, where they have 10,000 condoms, okay.
You think she's just a loud neighbor? Is it?
I don't know.
Was she having what are we talking about?
Apparently, she didn't care much about that whole Olympic thing.
Well, after she was done competing, she just wanted to hang out and maybe do stuff.
She does have 500,000 Instagram followers, which makes sense when you see her.
Maybe she was putting on a show in some ways for Instagram followers that didn't comport with what the Olympics believed her behavior should be as an athlete.
Well, there's a lot of behavior going on over there as athletes. They're apparently a little frisky. When you're young, in great shape, and very athletic, stuff happens.
As a single man, if you were a single man in your 20s and the best shape of your life, would you treat it like a buffet? Would you be going to all the countries and trying to see what could get done?
You want to travel the world, sure. I mean, who doesn't want to travel the world? So,
would you even just restrict yourself from American cuisine? Would you like, you know what? Get that back home.
Yeah, I mean, what a waste of time.
Yeah, why am I
go all the way over here to Paris to eat
hamburgers?
Yeah,
and fries,
to eat meatloaf.
Yeah, what am I doing? Casserole? No, what am I doing?
No, I want a croissant here and there. Yeah. I'm going to want some pasta, some spaghetti.
Well, but you know pasta. I mean, you're having American pasta.
What about an empanada?
Yeah. You should stay away from pasta. You've had all your starches. You've had American pasta for years.
Yeah, but
you're going over there. You want authentic is what you're
authentic
saying?
Authentic pasta.
Okay.
That's different.
Okay.
Okay. I want some paella.
All right.
Okay. Why are you going to eat a burger and fries? No. I think
this goes for all athletes. Like, whatever country you came from, you know what they say. Why are you bringing sand to the beach?
Yeah, exactly.
You're in a great place, having a great time. Unless you suck at your event, you try things, new things. That's the approach. Don't go there in a relationship. You treat the Olympics like you're poor before a birthday. You're like, oh, we got to break up. Because I can't afford your gift.
Poor before a birthday.
Sorry.
That's the worst move. You know guys do that. Oh, absolutely they do.
I'm not paying for Christmas or your birthday gift.
No.
Let's break up. That's how you treat the Olympics.
Much better.
I want to be free.
Be single.
And then 2 weeks later, you know what? I made a mistake. You're the one I want to be with. You go back to your casserole.
Absolutely. Go back to that meatloaf. Meatloaf. So anyway, that's something that happened on the in the Olympic field. That was the most interesting thing to me. This Noah Lyles thing is pretty pretty interesting. That, you know, he won. He's going for. He actually, this is a better event for him, right? The 200 meter.
200, he's really good.
Yeah, really
the 100, good. He had to work himself into a spot where he could really compete for the gold. And the 200, people expect him to kind of win that one rather easily. So he's had an interesting last year or so, considering he got on the wrong side of the NBA players for what he said about what a world champion is. And some people were looking for him to lose just to say, hey, man. Even Zaire Franklin, who the linebacker for the Colts, he tweeted out, Noel Lyles is my least liked American.
Well, he is. He's got some braggadocio to him, though.
Yeah.
He does love him some Noel Lyles. Noel Lyles loves him some Noel Lyles. There's no question about that. And, Devin Booker was there, but I don't know. I don't know. I didn't see if he was rooting for him or not. I don't think he was.
I didn't see a flash in the crowd of the Team USA basketball players, but the report was there in the building, and plenty of them made comments pretty much on social media after Noel Lyles' comments kind of went viral. Kevin Durant said some things about him. Bam Adebayo, I think he might have just said, hey, get this man some help. Things like that. And whether they were hate-watching or not, you win a gold. You're the fastest man on earth. You win that title, first time for an American in 20 years. Do all the talking you want about whatever you want.
Right. Right. I mean, fastest man in the world. That's him. That's Noel Lyles, and he's going to tell you about it. No question. And we'll see the 200 meter. That to me is the best race.
I like that one too.
I like the 200 better. All right, 713-780-3776. If you guys want to get in here, anything you want to talk about, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. Some Texan stuff to talk, and a little Rocket stuff as well to talk about. Aqueduct Plumbing is what I'm talking about now. I'm talking about Billy Brown. I'm talking about a great company that I've used several times. And if you or somebody, Dad, you got to put this number in your phone, because when it's an emergency for your family and you got to have the Aqueduct Plumbing on your side, you don't want to be scrambling for it. Put it in there. Just put John and Lance underneath it, because then you'll remember that the name is Aqueduct Plumbing Company. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com, that's fine. But 281-488-6238. They got 24-hour service available, and they're awesome, awesome, awesome when there's an emergency. They know that, you know what? They're going to get their Johnny on the spot, because they know that it just sucks. If you've got a leak, you sprung a leak, man, the quicker you get there and you shut that down, the better it is, the less fixing there has to do. They called Resto Pros for me, and they came to the house and fixed all my stuff right away, and it was just awesome. You're looking for that kind of plumber that's going to be conscientious and is going to be there right away for you. 281-488-6238 or aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did the Chiefs just throw a giant middle finger at everybody else when they signed Harrison Butker to the largest contract in pro football kicking history?
No, because no one cares about that thing anymore.
Oh, really?
Who cares about this anymore?
No. Listen, everybody. I mean, how about all the people after his speech and they wanted him? You got to fire him. He can't. He cannot represent you. Oh, let's give him the biggest contract.
Yeah, that was months ago now. People were upset.
What do you mean?
People were upset.
You think people have forgotten who?
But they don't care. Like, SNL made their jokes. But
Serena Williams attacked him during the ESPYs.
And?
Right? No, they didn't forget, Del. Nobody's forgotten about Harrison Butker.
Harrison Butker's going to kick his kicks, and no one's going to care. The NFL world doesn't care that Harrison Butker did that.
Did you see him? He had some tweets during the opening ceremonies. He did. He was tweeting out about, you know, the Last Supper didn't sit well with Harrison Butker. The French's interpretation of the Last Supper did not really sit well with Harrison Butker. And you know what? Then with a lot of Christians, it didn't sit well. And Harrison Butker said, you know what? This is terrible. And then
did the Olympics survive that initial controversy? Are the Olympics fine?
Yeah.
Which is my point. Harrison Butker said what he said. He got his money. Just kick well, and it won't matter.
Yeah. Well, it's something that I'll never forgive France for, though.
You were out on France for years.
It
didn't help that happened, but you've been out on France.
Yeah. No. France, you're embarrassing yourself.
It's that and the Butker thing are just evidence that, sure, it'll be a thing while it's a thing, and then something else will come along to change it, and then the Chiefs are like, you know what? He's really good at what he does, so we'll pay him. And if he sucked, we just get rid of him, not because of what he said, it's because he sucked and he can't help us win anymore.
Right, but a lot of people still wanted him out anyway, despite that. And here the Chiefs said, nah.
He was never going anywhere.
Nah, we're gonna give him the most money
ever. He was never going anywhere. The moment he stopped making kicks is the moment the Chiefs would decide he wasn't worth it. But because he makes kicks, he makes big ones, he's a big part of what they do, he stays. Anyone calling for him getting fired or getting released has never paid attention to sports.
Yeah. WTX Rhino says it was the Last Supper. It was an interpretation of the Last Supper, and it wasn't a very good one. I didn't think Jesus looked like that. If you want to know the truth,
the depiction of Jesus in the readily accepted imagery ain't what he looked like either.
Dude. I went to church Sunday at a church here, and I want to tell you, I've never seen Jesus look whiter and Mary and the baby Jesus look whiter. I was like, okay, wait a minute.
I'm telling you, the French may have gone too far in some people's eyes, but look, Jesus was never the whitest person on the face of the earth.
He had red hair. Yeah. Jesus had red hair.
Wait a minute, ginger Jesus?
Yes. I was like, okay, hold on. Jesus, that I'm pretty sure that, hey, this is the Middle East now. We got to have a little bit more reality to this thing, okay? So I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't have red hair and Mary was milky white. I'm pretty sure. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure. Now, some of our interpretations anyway. Caviezel was pretty good. But there's been some interpretations over the years.
Yeah, the more ones have given Jesus a different tint and the people around him a different tint. But sure, way back when,
right,
he was a pure white man in those movies.
Now, when I was in Austin and we went to the black church,
mm-hmm.
Did
he have dreads?
He didn't have dreads, but he sure did have a lot of curly hair.
Well, I told you, my mother owned a shirt that said Jesus was a black man. Dark skinned Jesus in dreads. This was back in the this was back in the early 90s. The black empowerment movement, particularly in that part of Los Angeles, was really picking up. She bought a shirt right off the street. Jesus was a black man.
Yeah.
So we all have our different vibes and feel on what Jesus looks like.
Yeah. Oh no, we all picture him differently. We all picture him differently. I picture at defensive tackle for our Houston Texans. You know when DeNico Autry gets back, I'm not so sure that him playing inside against the run is going to be a great thing anyway. I mean, this guy is a defensive end.
Yeah, he's angular. I mean, now DeMeco Ryans and that San Francisco defense love angular guys, but DeNico might be stretching what they're looking for. He's a defensive end. Now, he can rush the passer from the defensive tackle position, but I'm not sure you want him as one of your guys who, in run situations, is in the middle.
Yeah. Foley Fotokasi, I think Fotokasi is going to be he's going to be a stalwart there. I'm going to tell you, well, Khalil Davis has played well. You know, Heinisch has not played bad over his time here. I mean, it's amazing that he is still, you know, that he's been able to have a career. What is this, his fourth year here? Dude has been around for a little while now as an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, he's hung on. It's a name that always feels like, oh, okay, at some point they're going to replace this guy with someone. But he's found a spot, even through the dark years.
Right.
And into the light, I guess you'd say, as you know, Baldinger and the NFL Network were there, had rave reviews for the Texans. So they're getting that type of attention where no chance that particular group was showing up the Texans camp, even last year. But now they're getting the full force of NFL media watching them. And someone asked Baldinger what he thought of the Texans after watching them in practice. And he goes, well, I already thought they were good, and this just confirmed it.
Yeah. Was it Baldinger or somebody else had said, oh, no, they put out there somebody else in the media had said, hey, listen, go look at the rosters, and the Texans are one of the best teams in the league. And so they should play like that, especially with the coaching that they've got. I get Mario Edwards Jr. is going to be playing a lot in there. You know what? Heinisch is going to make this team again. Jake Hansen possibly. Two wins for Whitey on that defense.
What? Are you still looking at wins and losses for Whitey?
Well, we got to take what we can get. I know they're backups, and I know they're going to play sparingly. But Whitey got to take what he can get right now.
I don't know. I feel like Whitey, sure, the quarterback position has changed in the last 15 years, but you still got your guys. You still got your Herberts. You still got your Rodgers.
Okay, let's
you got
take
your
a look.
Guys.
Let's take
Trevor
a look.
Lawrence.
Let's take a look at the starting defense. Will Anderson Jr.
Well, do you hold
Mario
on.
Edwards
before
Jr.
You, before you run down the list, do you want a predominantly white starting defense?
No. I mean,
no. So what do you? Why would you want wins there? You should take wins at positions that won't hurt the team.
Fatu Kasi sounds like he could be Greek, but he's not.
He's not, no.
Danielle Hunter, no. Aziz, no. Christian Harris, no. Henry, no. Derek Stingley, Jalen Petrie, Jimmy Ward, Kamari Lassiter, Desmond King. I'm not seeing a lot of Whitey. Okay, we got to take what we can get, okay?
Backup interior defensive lineman?
Right, and linebackers, okay? That you hope he's not on the field too much.
He's a special teamer,
you know,
right? You want your white linebackers to be inside and on special teams. Unless they're edge rushers. You can get a couple edge rushers. You got a couple of those. A Max Crosby type. Well, not on this roster, but the Bosas. You still got guys on defense.
Right. We got a couple wins on offense and Dalton Schultz. CJ Stroud.
No, he's not white. You can't take him, no. That's it.
Andrew Beck.
He's not. Is he a starter on this team?
Kind of. But
you got Skoranek that people love.
We got CJ. We got
Stop
Dalton.
Saying CJ.
Got,
you don't have CJ.
Oh, really?
Really.
Okay. Let's go take a look. Let's go look
I've
at the
seen
film.
Him. I don't need to look
put
at
the,
him.
Go put the film on, bro.
I don't need to look at him. I remember what he looks like. You don't get him.
We got
he
Case.
Doesn't belong to you.
We got Case and Davis.
Well, that's your white. Role. The backup quarterback role is the white guy's role. So that's a standard.
So that's what we get, Cade Stover.
Yeah, look around the league. Look around, outside of Tyrod Taylor. Even Jacoby Brissett's going to start for the Patriots. Who are the backup quarterbacks who are black?
Yeah, Jacoby's starting right.
And you got Jameis in Cleveland.
Yep.
But Tyrod and Jameis, I think, are the ones. Everybody else, you guys got that. Don't worry. Maybe Mariota's floating around someplace, but for the most part. Don't worry, John. I think you're always.
Hey, you don't get to claim him.
No,
what
I'm Hawaiian. I'm not trying to claim him. I'm talking about you guys
you're trying to grab people.
See,
you
the
don't
problem.
Even...
The problem for you is you think backups are enough for my people. They're not. I'm talking about what you guys love to grab. It's the white backup quarterback. You guys got plenty. Don't worry.
Do
That's
it.
Your position.
It's what we do.
Mike White. It's even in his name.
Yeah. Right. No, it's what we do. Okay. We backup quarterback. That's what we do.
What a
come
thing.
In when you. When you need us most.
What a thing to aspire to.
Okay.
We're the clipboard holders.
Gardner. We got a guy named Gardner.
That's right.
That's
almost
right.
Almost led a team to the playoffs last year.
You're damn right. If he could have just...
Completed that check down.
If he didn't throw it at his ankles, it would have been perfect. Would have been perfect. What is a successful season for our Houston Rockets? We will talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
There's a story this morning, and the headline is, what is a successful season for your Houston Rockets this upcoming season? 41-41, they were the best, by far, the best non-playoff team in the league. I mean, it wasn't even close. The over in the first team that didn't make it in the East was Brooklyn, 32-50. But you got to be 10 games over 500 to make the playoffs. Golden State was 46-36, so was Sacramento. You got to have somebody fall out of this thing. Do the Clippers, who finished 20 games over 500, losing Paul George, do they fall out of this thing?
The health of Kawhi Leonard will determine that. They don't now. They don't have a guy who can carry the team when he inevitably misses his 15 to 20 games a year. There's a shot there, but I think they have enough talent. You also have to think about Memphis being back and healthy.
Yeah.
So that adds a team to the mix.
Ja, Zach Edey, they drafted.
They have Desmond Bain and Jaren Jackson III and Gigi Williams or Jackson, I think.
Now, they were 28 games under 500. Do those guys make that big a difference?
Ja Morant does. When he's at his best, he's an MVP candidate. So, yes, I think he does. Though they weren't healthy all year long, and then at a point they decided to give up on the year. We forget about them because it's been a couple years now, and they had a flame out when Dylan Brooks was taunting the Lakers. But that's a team who was a two seed just maybe two or three years ago.
Sacramento had a nice year and made the play-in at 46-36. Golden State was 46-36. They were the ninth and tenth teams in the deal. Sacramento's pretty good. I could see Golden State falling out.
Yeah, there's a chance. You get one Steph injury and they're cooked. So that's and they had to fight and claw initially to even be a team that was above 500. Eventually they got it together. That's a team that could fall. If you're talking about a team who the Rockets could take their place, I would look at Golden State. They've made changes this offseason beyond beyond Clay leaving. They've made some changes to try to revamp this roster, but that's one team you could look at.
Yeah, Dallas ain't going anywhere, especially with the addition of Clay, right? Phoenix, the Lakers.
Yeah.
A
longer summer for LeBron and AD. We'll see how they respond early in the year. The Lakers, Golden State, though they're older teams, well, LeBron particularly, those are the teams I would think are vulnerable because they seem to always be playing teams at this point. If the Rockets are going to make a jump. I think you have to account for Memphis being good again, so that takes a spot away. So now you have to look at two teams who need to fall out. So I think the Lakers and Golden State are your top two options.
I think you could be better than Memphis, though.
I don't think. We forget. I'm telling you, Memphis was a solidified playoff team until Ja had his issue and they got hurt. And you look at that roster, Desmond Bane, Ja, Jaren Jackson Jr., those are three legit dudes. And then we just go down the rest of the roster and look. I don't think you're better than Memphis if Ja is what he was. That's the question. If he is what he was before all the stuff went down and he got hurt, you don't have a better player than him on the roster.
Well,
and Desmond Bane's a legit dude, too.
Plant a gun.
Well, okay. Sure, if you want to do that. Okay. There's your opportunity.
And then Ja'll be arrested, out of the league. It'll be, that's a way to get rid of that. Okay, you can get that out of the way. I just think that it's playoffs now. It's playoffs now. They overachieved last year, even for the organization. I heard them in the preseason and talking about 38-39 wins, what that step that they took. Well, they took a bigger step than that. And they were disappointed in the step that they took. They threw a lot of games away last year.
If you look at go ahead.
And they improved this offseason. I think Steven Adams is going to be an improvement. Reed Shepard is an improvement. Cam should be better. You know, young guys should be better. Hopefully Jalen gets more consistent. I mean, you got a chance to be dare I say, is there any chance they finish in the top six?
Well, if we go by over-unders right now as far as win totals, just like multiple sites, you have the Thunder, the Timberwolves, the Nuggets, the Mavericks, the Grizzlies, the Suns, and the Kings, and the Pelicans ahead of them. And then they're tied with the Rockets. Then they're tied with the Warriors and the Lakers, and the Clippers are the team that's under them. So at this point, The books don't think they're a top 16, but they think they're competing right in that play-in range with the Clippers, with the Lakers and the Warriors.
Well, as well they should. I mean, but that's what everybody thinks. But you know what? They overachieved last year, and maybe they learned how to win a little bit too. We'll find out. Any interest in watching this Brazil-United States game?
Other than, representing the country and just watching basketball? No, but I like basketball, so I'll take a look. But I'm not going to be locked in because I expect a certain result. And if there's no real drama in it, there's no real appeal to me watching the U.S. team beat up on Brazil. But I'll take a look and just to keep up to date. But I'm not going to be focused on it throughout the game.
Well, wait a minute. Is it Canada? I don't even know who they're playing.
They're playing Brazil. Canada is in the other bracket. So we may see a Canada-U.S. final, and that would make some sense. Canada, as far as depth of NBA players, outside the U.S., they have the most, and they have a pretty good roster. Hell, I think Jamal Murray comes off the bench for them. So
Didn't Germany just win, too? Yeah.
So Germany's in there. They're the world champions. They won the World Cup of basketball. I think that's what it's called. So they're a threat to medal, certainly.
Franz Wagner.
The two Wagners. More
Wagner. Both Wagners. And Dennis Moritz Schröder.
And Wagner.
Mo Wagner.
Mo Wagner and Franz.
Franz, yeah. They're okay, whatevs. So when is this going to end?
What do you mean? The Olympics? You're already done with the Olympics?
I've been done with the Olympics. I kind of am.
You don't have to watch, John.
No, I don't.
It's not even on the network you prefer. You don't have to watch.
So,
couldn't Wendy ban you from watching the Olympics anyway?
No. It's U.S. and Brazil, then take on the winner of Serbia and Australia, and the top bracket is Germany and Greece, and Canada and France. Ooh, Canada and France, that's a good game.
That's a tough one. The size, yeah. The size of the French is going to be a problem. Canada, I think their bigs are Dwight Powell and Kelly Olynyk, so they're going to be at a big size advantage. But their guards are much better. Their perimeter guys are much better than what France has to offer.
Is it obligatory to have the Eiffel Tower in every shot when you're doing a stand-up?
If you are in Paris, yes.
Yeah,
the Olympics are in Paris, yes, you should have it. You should probably have it. I mean, I guess you can go, the Arc de Triomphe? What
yeah,
is it called?
Arc de Triomphe.
I guess you can do that too. But
on the Champs-Élysées.
You have to at least have the Eiffel Tower in a couple. What happens in L.A.? I mean, the Hollywood signs, no one's going up there for shot after shot.
No, but you can have it in the background. Although
it's hard to get that. It's hard to get that.
No.
Particularly if the weather's not, the fall, the smog is out.
We drove up to the mountains in Glendale here. Have you ever watched Bosch?
Yes.
Yeah. His house and the view that he has, which is on a cop salary.
Yeah, that's a bit of the unrealistic
the question.
Part. Well, he'd be a dirty cop, which is...
Yeah.
Which it seems
I mean,
to be the
I
case.
Can see where they would accuse him of being a dirty cop. Because
he was a consultant on movies. That's where his money came from.
Oh!
It wasn't just his cop salary. I remember that now. That's how they got around him living in the house. He was a consultant on movies. He was like their technical guy, so he got paid
for cop movies. Yeah,
a lot of cop movies, a lot of cop TV shows.
He's a fictional character, so
no. I'm talking about even in the yes, that's an example of it. He would have a lot of work. As a technical director on movies and TV shows. A lot of cop shows.
Yeah. We went up there and the views, that's what you get, L.A. The views are just spectacular. The elevation changes here in the mountain, it's just fantastic. It really is. It's a beautiful place. They've messed it up tremendously, but it's a beautiful place. And I can tell you this, talk about L.A. traffic. It's real. L.A. traffic is real. Houston traffic is real. But L.A. traffic is another stage because they have no idea how to sync their traffic lights. It's the worst. It's unbelievably bad. It's all about traffic lights here and why there's so much congestion because they're just so stupid about it instead of syncing lights. Like in the morning, though, when we go in Houston down Richmond, those lights are synced so I don't have to ever – I was thinking about this, too. You tell me, if there's nobody around, I'll just blow a red light, right?
You tell me, not what I tell you. You do that.
Well, okay. So if it's 5 in the morning, there's nobody on the road, either way, you can't see anybody, there's nobody there, who in the hell are you hurting by taking a left turn on a red light when nobody is on the street? And are you stupid for just sitting there? My answer is yes, you're just stupid. I will ask you.
It's not about the scenario. It's about you building up a habit of running through lights and the chance that you might, not you specifically, because maybe you have a better governor on yourself, the chance that someone else might go, you know what? I'm always running through red lights. Nothing ever happens. I ain't even going to look this time.
No.
I'm not saying you.
No. When there is nobody on the road and it's, you know, we get up early. So 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, and there's nobody there. It's dark out and there's no cars coming either way. Yeah, I ain't sitting there. Okay, well, I just got news for
you're
you.
You're a lawbreaker. We understand.
That's right. Okay, let me ask you this question. If you're standing on the corner and the walk sign says walk or don't walk, says don't walk, and yet there's nobody coming, would you cross the road?
Well, that's an example. He didn't let me finish. That's an example that hits close to home because when I go on a walk at night, there's generally no one around, and I wait at the light. I'm not in a rush. What am I in a rush?
You sit there and wait.
I'm in the middle of a back-and-forth 6-mile walk. What rush am I in?
You're a puppet.
I'm not in a rush. Sorry. Yeah. There's no rush for me.
No.
It's 3 miles one way, 3 miles the other way. Either way, I got to walk the 6 miles. I don't care. I'm not in any rush. Got my podcast going. Doesn't matter.
So if it's the middle of the day and there's nobody coming, and it's usually so much traffic, I'm walking if I can get across. Screw you and your walk sign. Because I can judge when I can cross the street.
Screw you and your... Who are you yelling at?
All of you. All of you people that sit there like sheep. Go. You know what? Take control of your life.
Taking a stand by jaywalking and running alike. Congratulations.
That's right. You're damn right I am. You're damn right I am.
Find your power, John.
I got my power. It's to go to break right now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.